That is the sounds of the one and only Miss Chaka Khan and her days with Ask Rufus, with the one and only song Hollywood. And hello again. This is How Bette Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. I'm Moya.
And I'm Georgia.
And we are back and in full effect. We are so glad to be with you right now. We're going to talk about The Swimmer today, 1968, The Swimmer, featuring the one and only Mr. Burt Beefcake Lancaster. Meow, ladies.
Meow, that's right.
So yeah, The Swimmer, as I stated, is a movie, a very underappreciated in Georgia, our minds, a very underappreciated movie. And apparently in 1968, that was the prevailing feeling. But later on, in latter years, and especially now, it has a cult following, as great movies that were ahead of its time tend to do. And we just wanted to talk about this movie because, again, it's underappreciated. We think it's a classic, and we hope that you all do too. So Georgia is, I've deemed her, and she's deemed herself, the head of research at our prestigious institution here of Hollywood Classic Analysis. And so Georgia, you want to tell us a little bit? We were talking earlier about some of the trivia behind The Swimmer, and just go on and enlighten our audience who may not know anything about The Swimmer, or Burt Lancaster for that matter.
This movie was adapted from a 3-page short story by Don Cheever, and this was not the easiest production. It has numerous directors, the most famous being Sidney Pollack, who directed the scene with Janice Rule, the mistress, and this movie, I think, was kind of a miracle that it made it. The movie actually flopped at the box office, but that was due to, I think, poor marketing more than anything else. The star and the director clashed so much prior to its being released, and so that's why there were, different directors that were brought in. But one of the things about this movie that really amazed me is that Burt Lancaster himself had a secret fear of the water. And can you imagine somebody starring in a movie called The Swimmer and not knowing how to swim and having the fear of the water? So Burt Reynolds took swimming lessons.
Lancaster.
I'm sorry, Burt Lancaster. I'm sorry.
Wrong stud.
So he also adopted this physical regimen where he worked out religiously doing sit-ups and push-ups every single day, and then he ran, he did karate, and he just took on a number of different things to get himself in top physical form because he is clothed in nothing but a swimsuit.
Woo, yes, and we're going to talk about that.
Now, one of the things that he did, he was so committed to this movie, and this I think was such a courageous role for him to take on. Not just because he was middle-aged when he did it, but I think that this movie in particular, they quit production on it. And so what he did was he knew it needed another day of filming, so he took $10,000 of his own money to have an additional day of filming this movie. One of the other things that I think is a standout about this movie is that the composer that does the really emotional and haunting score at the beginning and end of this movie, Martin Hamlisch was like, I've read different things, he was 22 or 24 years old, and the producer had seen him play the piano at a party and said, I've got to have this guy write the score. And this movie is what launched him, and he went on in 1973 to get 3 Academy Awards for his music. So you want to really pay attention to that when you watch this movie. And also to keep in mind that when you see Burt Lancaster swim, before this movie started, he did not know how to swim. So there you go. another thing. There is Joan Rivers' very first role in a movie. She has one scene in it, but she says in her autobiography it took 7 days to film it because of the creative differences between the director and Burt Reynolds, because
Lancaster.
Lancaster, because he kept Burt Lancaster wanted her to play it a certain way, and then also the director also kind of has her wanting to do a different way. But when you see it, you know, you'll be able to judge for yourself about Joan Rivers and her very first role in the movie. So, in any movie. So there you have it. There's some of the background about this movie. The director, the famous Sidney Pollack, he is one of the directors, but the main director was Frank Perry. Burt Lancaster plays the lead role of Ned Merrill, and it also has Janice Rule, of course, the Joan Rivers character we mentioned, and Kim Hunter, who was the one who, she was in Planet of the Apes, but you see her without the ape makeup. So yeah, she's also in this movie.
So you touched on 3 things, and I'm going to start them backwards. Planet of the Apes. So the poor swimmer, this movie, look, it didn't stand a chance that year because ironically, the Planet of the Apes was one of the 10 best films, highest grossing films of that year, along with, let me see, they had some, I mean, just an Oliver, which I've never seen. And unless Georgia makes me, I will never see because I'm not a musical person. And plug your ears, your fingers in your ears. Sorry, musical people. We will do musicals on here. It's just not one of my favorite genres. But yeah, it had a tough road to go because of all the competition. So, and mainly, number one, A Space Odyssey, 2001. A Space Odyssey came out that year. Funny Girl, and again, Planet of the Apes, Rosemary's Baby, and on and on and on. So it really... It really had to swim upstream against the current to try to do anything that year. So that, you know, that probably worked against it. Also, we'll get into the actual content of the movie in a bit. So, which, you know, I just named you some of the movies and an odd couple. And The Swimmer fits nowhere in any of the movies, the top 10 movies of that year of 1968. It just doesn't, which is unfortunate. So Kim Hunter was in Planet of the Apes. Joan Rivers, RIP, really everybody in this movie, but Joan Rivers, anybody who, I am a huge Joan Rivers fan, will always be. I love her, have a lot of sentimental memories of her. And besides just being one of the greatest comedians, not just female, greatest comedians ever, in my opinion. But, you know, I don't know if anybody knows this, but she always wanted to be primarily an actress. Did you know that, Georgia?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And I feel the same way you do. I think she was one of the greatest comedians that will ever be.
Right. Definitely a GOAT. But yeah, she wanted to be an actress and she became a comedian by default because being the comedian schedule, the late nights and what have you, it gave her enough opportunity in the daytime to go on auditions and, you know, pay the bills, quote unquote. You know, she wasn't making a lot of money, but, you know, it was better than nothing. So she just happened to become a comedian. I wish I would happen to become something great like that in my life. And so in the last bit of trivia, something that Georgia mentioned, Mr. John Cheever, The Swimmer is taken from a short story by the gentleman. And those of you who are Seinfeld fans, like me, I'm a Seinfeldian. As soon as I saw the name John Cheever, I was like, no way. I did not know John Cheever was a real person. I just thought it was something, a character that was made up on the Seinfeld show. So anybody who knows Seinfeld, they know that John Cheever was Susan's, George Costanza's character's ill-fated fiance. And I won't give it too many spoilers. But my gosh, if you are a Seinfeld fan, if you haven't seen every episode like 50 times, shame on you. So, you shouldn't have any spoilers at this point. But anyway, George, Jerry, and Kramer, Curly, Larry, and Moe, inadvertently outed Mr. I forgot Susan's dad by burning down. It was their family cabin, Susan's family's cabin, and they accidentally burned it down. And they saved some letters, and the letters were from John Cheever to Susan's dad, and they were having a relationship, and the man had been keeping a secret forever, and it's just a hilarious episode. So John Cheever was the man who was Susan's dad's gay lover, undercover gay lover, and so it was, and just the reactions and everything from the family, and it's just a classic Seinfeld episode. So, duh, no, I didn't jump. No, John Cheever was a real person, but he wrote The Swimmer. And so now that we've gotten those bits of trivia away, honey, let's get into The Swimmer for all those who are interested in. Look, this is not a movie, Georgia. Would you say for anyone, you don't go to this movie to escape, like Planet of the Apes, A Space Odyssey, Funny Girl, and iCouple, the movies of the same year. You're going at an escape, either through laughter or whatever you want to do. You ain't escaping. You're gonna go to, if you went to the Swimmer in 1968, you paid your money to have a public colonoscopy, if you will. That's because you and then put look at yourself in a mirror whilst everybody else is looking at you. Get the public colonoscopy, because I mean, you just had to. It was so about the human condition.
I agree with you, Moya, on that because, it does make you do some self-reflection, and maybe the swimming pools are kind of like a comparison to that because the movie actually starts out with this man who we don't know how he got here, but he is back in the area of his old neighborhood, and he decides, instead of to walk back because he doesn't have a car for whatever reason we don't know, but he decides to swim. And this is way back because he thinks that the swimming pools kind of form a river all the way back to his home. And so he's going to swim the river of pools all the way home. And with each pool that he comes upon, we begin to get another clue about what's going on with him and what has happened. This is a movie that will has it gives you a glimpse of like the late 1960s with the bourgeois, the upper middle class cocktail set was like in suburban Connecticut, which is what Moya touched on when she was talking about Mad Men episodes. This movie became a cult classic, and when you see this, you'll probably be reminded of the things that not only does Burt Lancaster do best, which I think is when he plays like the lone anti-hero, he's on this, it's like an epic, he's on a quest or a personal journey, if you will. And to me, I think it felt, after I watched this movie, didn't you feel kind of like you had watched an episode of The Twilight Zone or something?
Yes.
I looked at this and I was like, because how The Twilight Zone has like twist at the
Right.
end, it's like,
Right. Yeah.
So, and like Moya said, this is not one of those escape like movies. This is one where there's like, it's deep. It's pretty deep.
Right. And Georgia mentioned Mad Men, and she got a little ahead because I hadn't mentioned it yet. She and I were talking about the fact that a lot of people who've seen The Swimmer have gone on to write about and talk about how definitely Ned Merrill, Burt Lancaster's character, is so Don Draper. Matt Wiener and his crew from Mad Men, the AMC classic, AMC TV classic series from a few years ago. He is, and so Don, so Ned Merrill, they mentioned a movie, The Sweet Smell of Success, another Burt Lancaster movie, ironically, which he was brilliant in. We're going to talk about that one later. And some
Once
other,
Again, Alcatraz. Whatever that was. Oh, man, that was a great one.
but the character in A Sweet Smell of Success, those type of men were definitely incorporated in the men of Mad Men. And Ned Merrill is so Don Draper. So yes, it is a consensus that those who see the swimmer, you are going to automatically recognize Don Draper in this movie. And so just to go on, and we're going to try not to do too many spoilers for the swimmer. And like Georgia said, and I was looking at some of the critiques of the movie back then and now. It is a bizarre movie. It's ahead of its time, and but it's timeless because you have to. In Georgia, tried to get someone we know, a gentleman who's middle-aged. She tried to get him to look at it, and he was emphatically no. So again, if you don't want to deal with your crap, then don't look at this movie. If you don't want to think about who you are and your place in this world, then do not look at this movie. But if you are confident in who you are, good, bad, and ugly, it is so self-examining, and you cannot turn away from it. And it's not a very long movie. It wasn't like an hour and some change. It wasn't even that long.
You're right, it wasn't all that long.
So, like Georgia says, it opens up and boom, you see Mr. Lancaster in his baby blues, man, like a navy blue. It's not a Speedo, like a Speedo, like a banana hammock Speedo, but it's the short. He wears short shorts, and his physique, oh my gosh. So I have a huge crush on Burt Lancaster. The man's been dead forever, but oh gosh, ever since his first movie, I think his first movie was The Killers. He's just a gorgeous specimen. He is, and he had to be in like his early 50s. I'm not really sure when he did
I
this.
read he was in his 40s when he
Oh,
did this.
okay, yeah. Okay, so those people smoked and drank so much, girl. They looked, they aged, they just started disintegrating, smoking, drinking lifestyle. That was the deal back then. So he looked like he needed 50s to me, but he always kept himself in shape. So, and that, like Georgia said, that's all you're gonna see. But Georgia, I want so the first pool was a friendly pool. It was some friends, and apparently Ned's been MIA. The movie never says where for about, is it 2 years or it's two the
Yes.
yeah 2 years is swimming around,
Yes.
and you don't know if he's actually been gone 2 years or like physically gone or in his mind. Well, definitely, and this is not a spoiler, in his mind, he is 2 years behind. So you're gonna think as it goes on, this man has had some mental break with reality, right?
I didn't, I had to watch this movie twice. The first time I watched it, I didn't even pick up on that. It wasn't until the second time I watched it that it started to, then I, then things started to click. I started looking for the clues. I listened to every single conversation, what was said, what they said, and then the difference about how he perceived it, about the two different ways of looking at the reality. That's when I started to figure out there's something going on here that's really deep. But one of the things that I really loved about this movie that I felt was so compelling was the way he plays this Ned Merrill character. Because each individual interaction, you can feel there is such depth of emotion. I found myself at times, I kind of wanted to help him, and then other times it's like I could see how people would kind of want to push back away from him. But you see how his strength ebbs and flows
Right.
Was the way he interacts with people. But I was so struck, and the thing that got me more than anything, and maybe it's just his personality, or maybe it's just acting, I don't know what it was, but the way he connects, because his acting has such depth to it.
Yes.
That you are able to feel what he is feeling. And he has this intense and profound effect on everybody. Like, he touches.
Right.
He touches them. I want you to, when you watch this movie, just pay attention to the former babysitter. Pay attention to, there is like a lonely little boy.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now watch how the effect that he has on that little boy. And there is something that he does with that little boy, and if you just see the little kid, it's like,
right.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I noticed that as well. Yeah.
And there is the thing about the level of intensity and the depth of the connection and emotion that he summons. This is like you will not really see this too many times with too many other actors.
Right.
But you know, I found myself the way there's things that he would say, the way he would say, come with me. And
right.
You just felt, so it's like, oh yeah, you're so drawn. He's mesmerizing. You are drawn to him, his personality. And you can see how that charm of his personality is probably like part of his business, his relationships, everything. You
right.
Understand. And one of my favorite lines of this movie is like when he's like toasting, he'll say, here's to sugar on the strawberries.
Right.
Yeah, that to me, you know, that said a lot to me. So,
right, right.
That was one of my, but there's some things in here that kind of surprise me because they're a little bit provocative, but it gives you a glimpse into like how his life played out.
Right.
You'll see that. If you really listen to, this will tell you, this man, like, you will see, he starts out really happy, and then you start to see people be, he gets, the way that people react to him, sometimes they want to kind of like push him away, and
right.
You start to kind of see this in the movie. So I'm not giving anything away, but the way I was going to ask you, like, what you kind of were taken away from the way this movie plays out and how he acts in this.
Well, it's another tour de force performance. He definitely deserved the Oscar nomination. The whole movie deserved the Oscar nomination. But again, you know, this is Vietnam time, and you know, people want to escape. So it was just, I hate to say, bad timing, because again, it's timeless. There should always be a time for a person to look into his or her own soul, you know, if you want to get deep and mushy. But you know, we should always be introspective, you know, and thinking about how we treat others and how we fit inside this world. And this is, let me just say this man is not having a midlife crisis. He is a midlife crisis. He is a walking midlife crisis. And every person he goes to, yes, there except a few exceptions, especially the second pool that he entered. The only thing I didn't really like about this movie was that second pool where he went to the mother who had lost the son, who apparently she felt Ned had either caused her son's death or was not sensitive enough to her son's death. They never say what happened, but apparently Ned was very aloof. And again, I go back to Don Draper, because Don Draper's character was so dichotomous. He was a compartmentalizer. He handled things and people as they came. He could turn it off and on. And so when you see Ned Merrill at this point, again, he is, I'm not, like I said, Georgia, I didn't think he was having a midlife crisis. You know, like I said, he was, it was already done finished, gone back to, in the midst of. He, like I said, he was a walking crisis. And like I said, with the exception of the mother who had lost a son, and another pool he went to as he was, like you said, this odyssey to swim, quote unquote, all the way to his home. And like I said, I don't want another device that was in the movie that they kept a recurring theme was going back to how he had lost 2 years of time with or touch with reality, because he kept saying, referring to his daughters as if they were little girls. And the babysitter that Georgia alluded to, she was like, he said, well, yeah, you can come babysit my girls. And she was like, are you kidding? Those girls are die if I tried to go over there and babysit them. So these girls obviously were teenagers or out of babysitting age, but this man had been so out of touch with his family before he started swimming, quote unquote, and obviously he was still out of touch. And we don't want to give away too much, but he is so out of sync with reality that it's crazy. So yeah, he is, like I said, this was a tour de force performance. Burt Lancaster should have at least 3 Academy Awards, and in my opinion, and this certainly should be one of them. So let's talk about the different pools. So he went to the woman who lost the son, then he went to the pool where the babysitter, now again, because he is a walking midlife crisis, of course, what do most people, especially men in midlife crisis, they try to hang on to youth with a death grip. So he was gonna try to get with his former babysitter and suck the youth and innocence out of her. And honey, she wasn't having it. She ran for the hills. I'll let you know that. She it was hilarious. At first she was like, back, because she did have a crush on him and blah blah blah. And honey, when she saw what was happening, and Georgia, did you pick up that it was online dating before online dating was a thing with her actual boyfriend? Did you pick up on that? Hilarious. I was like, oh my gosh. They've been, nothing's new. It was, and he and a boyfriend, apparently she was attracted to psychos because he was psycho. That's a whole nother movie. That's a whole nother movie right there. So he picks up the babysitter and she goes swimming with him until he freaks her out. And so then the next pool, and I'm probably getting them out of order. I think the next pool was Kim Hunter's pool. And so talk about when he met Kim Hunter. And that wasn't her name. We don't remember her name, but her character.
Drawing a little bit of a blank right now. I'm a little bit foggy on the Kim Hunter pool a little bit.
Well, yeah, well, remember he went to her pool, and of course, Kim Hunter, she looks fabulous. And come to find out, she was a school boy crush for him. We just left with the girl having a schoolboy crush on him when she, the babysitter, and then he goes and sees Kim Hunter, and now his youth, his crush that he had on her when they were both young, he opens up about that. So this man is so open and vulnerable, and as the story goes on, you can see and tell he has been the total opposite of that in his former life, as we see with Don Draper in Mad Men. As Mad Men progresses, Don becomes extremely open and vulnerable, but he's learned some hard life lessons. And so yeah, so that's what happened with Kim Hunter, when he went with that pool. And then what was the next pool? Okay, so my favorite pool, Georgia, was the old rich white couple. I said, I am that old lady. I said, I'm her right now. I ain't even gotta wait to how old she is. I am her right now. I'm already there. But I'm skipping the part. And Georgia, you jump in at any time. I'm skipping a part. It show so when he goes to the old rich white couple, and I'm just saying they're white, not because of color thing, but just trying to give you a descriptive. He gets a ride from chauffeur, who's black, and it's the old joke, running all black people look alike. you know, and it's just a, it's a lot of racial tension, but it's hilarious. In a few moments that Bernie Hamilton from Starsky & Hutch fame, he played Starsky & Hutch's, some more trivia, Starsky & Hutch's captain or something like that, Bernie Hamilton. And so he has a brief cameo as a chauffeur, and it's freaking hilarious. So the movie and his interaction with Burt Lancaster is only like, girl, if it's 5 minutes, and they managed to check off all the racial stereotypes and boxes and tension that's going on today. But it's freaking hilarious. I mean, and Bernie Hamilton, the way he played it, like, get out of my car, ass. Get out of my get
Doesn't
your clown fooly wang self out of my car right now. It's hilarious. So funny. And then Burt Lancaster proceeds to go to the old rich couple's house, and there in Georgia, what are they doing? What do they have on, Georgia?
Not a stitch or nudist, but
Gross. 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 I was like, oh no, if they show any more of this, if they get up from the table, I am fast forwarding this scene. I'm like, George, I'm sorry, I can't tell you nothing about this scene because I fast forwarded. Those two old, that old bat and that old goat, they were in their skivvies. But it made Burt Lancaster take off his trunks and we got a butt shot. And I was like, oh, I was like, hey. Hey, girl, because so obviously this was in Georgia's, and I my first time looking at this, but I didn't remember because I saw it when I was like in my mid to late 20s, and I fell in love with it. I totally got it. Now I'm just a tad bit older, and you know, and you look at it through different phases of your life. And I didn't remember that, but girl, it was Christmas in July when he took off those little blue baby blues he had on. I was like, good googly goo. All right. Yeah. Yes. I was happy. Yeah, I was happy. And then he turned around and he kept the shorts over, of course, his privates, because it wasn't that kind of movie. But you know, he so you, like I said, all you got is the butt shot, which was great. But the old lady, wasn't she, girl? She was just those two horns with, well, she had two, like a French, two French twists, was really two devil horns, because she was horrible. It was hilarious though. I'm sorry, it was funny. I don't want to just tell everybody. What do you think about that scene?
Temper it with a little bit of comedy in there, because like you said, the thing with the chauffeur, it was kind of like awkward but funny, and so there was a little bit of comedy in there,
Oh, yeah.
and like with, and then Joan Rivers, her interactions to me, there was, because she goes, I've heard that line before, but anyway, and it was, to me, that was just funny because it showed that they were eccentric,
Right.
these old people, and it was just something so funny because you did not expect these old people to be stuck naked like that. You just did
Right.
not expect it. And it was just, it showed how people can be quirky and eccentric, and just, you just don't expect it. So that made it kind of funny, because otherwise this movie would have, I mean, you needed some moments of levity in there.
Yes, yes.
And I liked it. I thought that all couple was just funny to
Oh
me.
yeah, they were too much. And like I said, an old lady, I loved her, even though she was being politely rude. So the thing is,
Yes.
and I don't want to give too much away, she was being politely rude over money, because apparently Ned got cut off. He lost his job to a younger person. So like I said, he is a walking life midlife crisis, I'm telling you, and anyone can relate. Who's been, most people have been through the things that he's been through, a breakup and losing your job, and your family. But again, he is out of it. He is not in touch with reality. So he's lost his job. Everyone knows it. And without giving away too much, that's a part of the comedy that's in the interaction with he and the, him and the old lady. And so he goes to the next, and I hope I'm when I hope we're not skipping pools, but he goes to another party, And now remember, he's lost his job and he's perceived to be broke. And this party, that's where he met Joan Rivers. So he crashed this party, tried to pick up Joan Rivers, failed, epic fail, and got blocked. It was hilarious. And so this party was just totally humiliating for him, okay? Totally humiliating for him because you know that he's broke and that his home is no more because he sees something that was one of his possessions and a neighbor has it. And without giving away too much, it sets off a confrontation. But it's just furthering how out of touch with reality that this man is, which is so sad. That's really sad.
But it all starts to hang together. You start to see, it starts building. You're starting to get more of a glimpse of the
Right.
kind of person he was.
Yes, yes.
How he was in business, how he was in his personal relationships.
Right.
You're starting to get more, the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fit together.
Right. Each pool gets tougher and tougher, with each encounter of the owners of the pool. Right. And then he meets the little boy, and I don't remember when he met the little boy at another pool. And the little boy at this pool is empty. It's
Right.
there's nothing in there. And a little boy is sitting outside all alone and on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And this would be totally creepy nowadays. It's creepy back then, but things were a lot more innocent. But Burt Lancaster, half naked man, walks up to a lonely young boy and picks him up and they go for a walk. Girl, now if you did that today, no ma'am. No ma'am, call the police, CPS, and everybody involved, because it just wouldn't go down like that. But the little boy is totally Burt Lancaster, the little boy inside of him that's lonely and no
Yes.
family connection or real family connection. And again, we don't want to give out too much of the scene. But the pool is empty. And so Burt Lancaster can't. They have to swim differently. And we don't want to give away too much. But the movie is hitting on, and it never lets you go. The emotional grip it has on you, and I love movies that there is no happy ending, there's no way out, there's not gonna let you go. And so with each pool, it's like I said, it's a progression into this man's character and who he was, and his failings as a husband and a father, and pretty much as a human being. And so the part with the little boy is really touching, and I don't want to get too much on in that. The little boy is literally little boy blue. He has on blue. He's blowing his pipe, by himself, his recorder. And it's just a lot of metaphors and symbolism, a lot of symbolism for who Burt Lancaster character is. So talk about the public pool scene. Do you remember that scene?
Oh my
Oh
gosh,
my
that is like
gosh.
one of the most gripping parts right there of the whole movie, is
It
that
is.
public
It is.
pool
Yes.
scene. Very, it surprised me about how, I just, this is where you really see Burt Lancaster's acting, because you feel what he's feeling. The experience he has at this public pool, where these people encounter him that have apparently known him from some other business dealings, and it's confrontational. And then also this pool that he's hoping this, it's full. It's just full.
Right.
It looks like it's more than like the YMCA on the hottest day in August, if you can
Right.
imagine.
Right.
It's just people all through it. And then the things that he has to do in order to get into the pool, and then there's like a very telling scene with people that he knew a couple of years ago, and then their dealings with him tells you a lot. And the way he's treated by the guy, he's like the, I guess he's like the you have to, he's the person at the entrance for you to get in.
Yes, yes. He is the pool.
John Garfield Jr. Yeah, he's the pool monitor.
Yeah, he has two pool trolls. There's two pool trolls that give him the business, and they give him the business.
Oh, gosh, do they ever. Yeah, this is their chance to exact some kind of, like,
right.
comeuppance on him. Boy, do they.
And it's not, and what's funny, it's not him personally, because I don't think, the guy who he has to pay the fee to, they don't know each other, but that guy knows the people who visits that pool, and he knows Burt Lancaster has never been there. So he's like, you know, why should I give you a break? You know, so it's kind of like this guy's rallying against the upper crust, the elite, who would never come to that pool, but want him to give him a break. And I guess he said, you all don't give me a break, so why should I give you a break? So, you know, he wouldn't let him
exactly.
in. And right. And another guy, you know, pays his way, and for which the lady he's with, like, don't pay for his pool. Don't give it. What is it, like 50 cents to get in or something like that? Like, don't give him 50 cents. And he, of course, I laughed at that. So, yeah, they had two pool trolls that gave they were going to, whatever they had against the upper middle class, they were going to take it out on. And it was only a few minutes, this scene, but you totally get that they were putting him through the rack because they knew he was not a person who belonged there in their view. They were being prejudiced against him. And so they was like, here's my chance. Without them saying it, they did it to him, you know. And then the people that he met, like you said, of his form who had business dealings with him, and we don't want to give too much away, that interaction was shining more light onto this man's character. And so what I got out of that scene was, you know, the way they were talking to him is like, oh, you know, almost like you're a slumming type deal. You know, you're slumming because you're being with us. You know, like I said, I try not to give too many spoilers. But again, like we're saying, each pool was a downward spiral for Ned Merrill, for Burt Lancaster's character. So let's talk about the pool, the mistress's pool. Woo! I wish we had some background. Next time we'll have some background sound effects, like claps or something like that, because honey, she gave the mistress's manifesto, didn't she? She should have got an Academy Award.
Oh my God, did she ever?
I mean, for every mistress, real or fiction, if you don't know what to tell a guy to get lost, or I'm through with you, or you ain't crap, look at this movie, record it, write the words down, whatever, or just record it and play it in the clown's face and just walk away. Because she read him the mistress's manifesto, riot act, whatever you want to say. She gave it to him, didn't she?
She did. If he was a dog, she would have rubbed his nose in it. I mean, she physically and verbally, I mean, she slapped him around. And really, like, it's like she throws cold water all over him. Like, wake up time, buddy. You know,
right.
This is what you did. This is what you were. I mean, she gives it to him, and he keeps trying to use his charm, and he tries to re-seduce her.
Yes. Manipulator. Master manipulator.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Don Draper, for the Mad Men fans, you know who I'm talking about. And when she called him a suburban stud, I almost fell out of my chair. I said, yes. Yes, 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 yes. A suburban stud. And girl, I was howling, as we say. And when she said, when you talk about this and that, she said, you bored me to death. You suburban stud. She said, I went back to Betty Davis when she told Leslie Howard and Of Human Bondage, and when you used to kiss me, I used to wipe my mouth. And she wiped. And I just knew. I think it's Janice Rule. I think that's who did that scene.
Yes.
Yeah. I was waiting for her to say it because I was like, oh my gosh, Betty Davis is in this movie, you know, without even being in this movie. And I was, girl, I was in here. I couldn't move. I was like, yes, this is how you get rid of this clown. And Georgia, you hit it on the nail. Like most of these men do who jerk the women around. And it takes two to tango. We know that. She knew that man was married because remember she said, I followed you. And she watched him with his family and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's this woman, you know, she wasn't naive. She knew what she was getting into. But the jerking aroundness that these men and women who, you know, who cheat on their spouses, the adulterer, you know, that how they manipulate and jerk people around and keep them on a string, you know, and she just wasn't having it anymore. She was like, honey, this is it. No, sir. Hit the road, Jack, you know, but he kept trying to reel her back in. Like you said, it was, that was the best scene in the whole freaking movie to me.
And that was the part that was directed by Sydney Pollack.
Oh, wow.
An actress do it, but it ended up on the cutting room floor. So then they brought in Janice Rule and Sydney Pollack directed it.
Oh,
and this
wow.
is what you see.
That's why.
This is like a masterpiece.
A masterpiece. Yeah.
A guy being reunited with his former mistress and boy, is there heck to pay.
And he didn't. He got it, but he didn't want to get it because like most people who are adulterers and cheaters, they are so needy. It's all about them. And, you know, and
right.
And again, if you are having an affair with somebody and you do not, what's the how to break up with a guy in 90 days or 30 days, whatever. No, how to break up with a clown, male or female, in 5 minutes, because it took her the scene, it might have been a little longer than, you know, but in 5 minutes she had gave him her manifesto. So I, again, if you are in the thick of a relationship with like that, please look at the whole movie, but please fast forward to the girl with his mistress. She has on a red and black one piece suit, and her hair is like early Mary Tyler Moore show, like the first few seasons. Janice Rule. So you can fast forward to that and, you know, go on and look at it. What I like about this movie, Georgia, you can, you know, of course you need to watch from the beginning, but there are no bad scenes, right?
You're right. There are no bad scenes. You're exactly right. It's very well edited.
Yes.
It's skillfully written.
Right.
And the acting is superb.
Yeah, the scenery.
Correct, there's no bad scenes.
Right, the scenery of the nature and the neighborhood, the trees and the water. I mean, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. There are no bad scenes, no ma'am.
Oh yeah, and it's such a beautiful day. And then towards the end of the movie, well, the weather changes.
Right. And again, don't come after us because we didn't put the pool scenes.
No, I'm not gonna say anything else.
Right.
Because I want everybody to really appreciate, you know,
right,
what happens at the end.
And no, we did not put the pool scenes in order. It doesn't destroy anything, but it was just how we wanted to talk about the movie. So, you know, go back and look at it. Go look at it. That's our whole point. You go look at it and reach us on our social media page and, you know, we can discuss it then. But it's great.
Well, you know, our theme is like life lessons from classic Hollywood movies. And I kept thinking about this movie after I watched it. Wow. You know, this movie does have a very strong message to it.
Yes.
And when I saw this movie, I was thinking, you know, you have to have lived a lot to kind of have this movie resonate with you. You know, the regular life, ups and downs and things like that. And I took away from this movie that if I just say what you learn from this is that don't lose hold of the truly important things in life.
Right.
And I think you see where Ned has obviously, the connection that he thinks is so important with his wife and his daughters, you're going to understand what has happened there.
Right. Right.
And why, and the mistakes he made in the, you know, that lead up to the ending. And so one of the things is like, yeah, don't lose sight of the truly important things. You know, being like a person that people, you know, you have to face everybody because of your actions, your decisions, how it affects other people, how other people see you. Do you see yourself the same way other people see you?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Bible says, you know, be sure your sin will find you out. I think is how it goes. But yeah, his sins do catch up with him.
Oh yeah.
So to me, that's the lessons that I got out of the movie.
Right.
From watching it.
Right.
But I think, man, there is not just the writing in the acting, but I have to say, I cannot imagine this movie without Burt Lancaster.
Oh no.
Because no. of his acting is so incredible, the way he inhabits this role.
It right.
just amazes me how he is able to do this.
Because it's like you're not watching a movie. You are watching a real life person's life unfold in front of your eyes, you know?
Yes.
Yes. We are just about to wrap things up here. Whoa, boo. But I did want to say, and George, I love how you didn't give away the ending. And we're going to stop right here because if we keep talking, we're going to give it away. Georgia, I just want to say one thing. Georgia felt sorry. Georgia, let me ask you, do you feel still feel sorry for Ned Merrill?
You know, the movie, I did. He was just breaking my heart.
Okay.
But then the second time I saw the movie, and I understood it, and I figured it out, I'm going, that's let this be a cautionary tale. That is what you get.
I you know, I don't want to prejudice the audience. The movie. You know, you'd have to be made of stone not to have feel anything for Ned Merrill, but all the people he encountered, you know, especially the little boy. Oh my gosh, I was like, okay, I need to pause this movie because you know, y'all, the little boy was just, oh my gosh, that scene. But
yeah.
I'm go ahead.
It just really, you know. In spite of the fact of all of his personal character faults, I still like this character.
Yeah, he is a likable guy.
He was a cad, but I still like him so much.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what's wrong with me?
But no, I mean, look. They when they picked him to do this movie, it was on purpose. When they cast, of course, I can't remember his name. Who plays Don Draper. It was on purpose because we're all visual creatures. Burt Lancaster is gorgeous. The gentleman who plays Don Draper is gorgeous. So you are drawn in. They are charming. They are, you know, especially if you're a woman, I don't care how old you are. They are sexy. You are. So, you know, unfortunately it's the people got to live with these people. You know, that's who gets it. Or anybody who tries to get close to these people, unfortunately, you know, we always hurt the ones that we love. And so I'm with you, you know, as despicable as Don Draper was, how he treated Betty and you know, in other certain situations, what he with Joan and whatever, in a certain situation that she was in, when they wanted to get this account. You know, he walked the line, but yet it still was slimy. And we saw with Burt Lancaster, Ned Merrill, you know, he walked that line. And like we could see with how he treated some people in business dealings, and especially how he treated the mistress during their relationship and after, you know, in the pool after she was telling him it was over. So he was a cad, like you said. So, you know, but again, you know, I want everybody to look at it and get their own opinion. So yeah, we are just about out of time, for The Swimmer. Again, please, we saw it on TCM. Yes, shout out to TCM for still giving us those great Hollywood classics. That's Turner Classic Movies. Shout out to them. Thank you so much for keeping these movies alive. And we, you know, we wouldn't be able to talk about these things if it wasn't for TCM and other channels that provide these great movies. And you know, a lot of these movies are on streaming or on YouTube. But yes, we did see this one on TCM. So thank you, TCM. And George and I have a huge library that we need to get through. We have no idea what the next movie is. So you just have to come back and see it. But of course, this is you know, How Betty Davis Saved My Life. But as you can see, we do other movies. And we wanted The Swimmer to be a guy movie, because a lot of movies, you know, are perceived women's films, you know, we'll be honest. But The Swimmer was an everyone movie, don't you think? Everybody movie, don't you think?
I think it was an everybody movie because I think women also can behave like he did. And
Right.
so I think that applies to them too.
Yes. And sorry, feminists, you know, put your fingers in your ears, you know, but yeah, you know, again, it takes two to tango, you know, so, you know, I totally agree with that statement. Well, Georgia, I've had a ball today as usual. And yes, please tune in for our next podcast. We have no idea what movie is going to be. So you just got to come back and visit us, right?
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So another great Hollywood classic will be on tap. And we thank you so much for listening to How Betty Davis Saved My Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. We'll see you next time. I'm Moya.
And I'm Georgia.
All right. And Shaka Khan, play us out, Hollywood. Till next time, guys. Remember, you be the star of your own fabulous show. Take care.